Luke 12:2 says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you what you should say." Hope this works this morning. Priest, play with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you acknowledging that without you, I could do nothing. Your word assures me that the Holy Spirit will teach me what to say. So I surrender my thoughts, words, and plans to you. Let every word that proceeds from my mouth be inspired by your Spirit. Remove confusion and replace it with divine clarity. Speak through me, Lord, and let your message reach every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So what I've done this morning is I've kind of woven the 23rd Psalm and the gospel lesson together, in which I hope is a holy mishmash. So what our 23rd Psalm and our gospel lesson has this morning describes, the 23rd Psalm describes the relationship with the Lord as being like a relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. Then Francis read our gospel lesson this morning. My pages are sticking together. From John, where the Lord Jesus speaks about the shepherd of the sheep. And these two passages are just very small representations of the many references to shepherds in the Bible. In fact, the word shepherd appears in the Bible at least 61 times. I know that because I looked it up on the internet, and it must be true. Some of the most familiar and well-loved passages of Scripture contain references to shepherds and sheep. But did you ever wonder why the Bible contains so many references to sheep and shepherds? Well, part of the answer lies in the reality that being a shepherd was one of the most common and familiar forms of livelihood in biblical times. We read early in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, to be exact, that the very first shepherd was Abel, who we know also became the first victim of murder at the hands of his brother Cain. Many other well-known biblical characters were shepherds as well. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. And shepherds are found not only in the Old Testament. We know that shepherds were the first people besides Mary and Joseph to see the newborn Christ child. And of course, the best known shepherd in the Bible was King David, who was also the author of most of the Psalms, including the 23rd Psalm, which we recited this morning. It should come as no surprise that Moses, who is credited with writing the first five books of the Bible, and David, who is credited with writing most of the Psalms, which each include in their writings references to the vocation which they are most familiar with, that of being a shepherd. Other writers of Scripture, if not shepherds themselves, were at very least aware of the importance of shepherds and sheep in the nomadic and agricultural life of the Hebrews and other people in biblical times. So we can rightly say that a major reason for shepherds are so prevalent in Scripture is because shepherding was a familiar reality for the people who lived in biblical times. But there's another reason. Scripture refers to shepherds so many times. Shepherds, of course, are responsible for taking care of sheep, and sheepmen are mentioned in the Bible even more often than shepherds, more than 500 times, more than any other animal. I know that's true because I also looked that up on Google. Siri wouldn't give me an answer. But many of the references in the Bible are not referring to the ovine character of mammals that we commonly call sheep. Sheep are used throughout the Bible to be symbolic of God's people. That is because God's people, and this means us, may tend to act very much like sheep. Say it's not so. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We're all like sheep who have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways." I know it doesn't sound familiar to me or to any of you. Peter 1:25 says, "You were straying like sheep." In Mark 6:34, we read that Jesus, upon seeing a great crowd, had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The Scriptures repeatedly see that we humans often act like sheep, primarily in our utter helplessness, in our fearfulness, in our tendency to stray. Being much like sheep, we humans are all in need of a shepherd, so it's natural that the Bible and much of Christian art throughout history of the church is full of images of shepherds and sheep. Which brings us back to the 23rd Psalm, one of the most familiar passages in all Scripture. I know many of us may have been taught to memorize it as a child. I still remember learning it, I believe, because I was 13 and that was a few years ago, from the King James Version. Many of us also memorized it, and I memorized it part of confirmation. It's certainly one of the most recited passages, if not the most recited passage in the Bible. We often hear it recited at funerals. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yet Psalm 23 is more importantly a psalm about living. It describes the daily activities of life, such as eating, drinking, resting, seeking security, from a God-centered perspective. When we read the 23rd Psalm along with our gospel reading this morning from John 10, it helps us to understand that the Lord is a good shepherd whose purpose is just not to give us strength when we face death and escort us into heaven, but to give us abundant life here and now. Jesus used some terminology in John's gospel that might need some explanation. Since most of us are not sheep farmers, we might have pictures difficulty what Jesus is describing. When my parents retired in 1962, they moved on to a farm. It was a dairy farm that had over 10,000 acres. They raised over 100,000 turkeys, and our back door was right out to their sheep pen. Now, if you don't believe sheep know their owners' voices, every time I walked out that back door, those sheep would run. All I had to do was look at them. You know, I was a teenager. I wasn't that scary. Every time one of the Browns came, I don't care, there were hundreds of Browns because there was a huge extended family, the sheep would run to the gate. After 2 years, the sheep always ran from me. And I don't know why, because I did not know them by name, and their owners did. Well, first, Jesus mentions a sheepfold. A sheepfold is commonly a courtyard near or beside a house bordered by a stone wall where several families kept their sheep. In towns and villages, sheepfolds were places where all the village flocks were sheltered when they turned from grazing in the countryside. During the warm season of the year, the sheep may have been gathered on a hillside, sheepfold outside of the town. Sometimes sheepfolds had doors which would be guarded by a gatekeeper hired to stand watch, or sometimes the shepherd would lie across the doorway or the opening so that no sheep could get over it except by going over his body. And that's what Jesus is describing when in John he says, "I am the door of the sheep." Something else we may not realize about sheep is how responsive they are to the voice of the shepherd, which I've also just said something about. Sheep are in many ways like dogs in responding to their master voices. Of course, some dogs are better than others in doing that. Our dogs, Milo and Archer, are kind of hit and miss when it comes to responding to my voice. In his commentary on the gospel, John, William Barclay describes the interaction of a shepherd and his sheep in this way. The shepherd calls out sharply from time to time to remind the sheep of his presence. They know his voice and follow on. But if a stranger calls them, stop short, lift their heads up in alarm, and if it's repeated, they turn and flee because they know it is the voice of a stranger. This is what Jesus is describing when he says the sheep hear his voice. But we know Jesus is not talking about four-legged woolly animals. He's talking about us, you and me. We might not like to think of ourselves as sheep, but Jesus is describing how it is intended to be for those who follow him. He is a shepherd of the sheep, and we are the sheep who respond to his voice. Sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd because they have learned to trust the shepherd. They know that if they follow the shepherd will provide security and rest and lead them to good pastures and fresh water. So what about us? If we are the sheep and Jesus is the shepherd, what should our response be to his voice? I think there are two basic things, and there may be more. First, our response should be simply to trust. Trust that Jesus Christ is the shepherd who came not to just give us access to eternal life in heaven, but also to give us abundant life here and now. Jesus wants to guide us in this life to green pastures and still waters and overflowing cups and security, even in the presence of evil and even our enemies. He wants to give us abundant life, but we cannot obtain abundant life unless we submit to his rod and his staff. In other words, the second part of our response is to obey him. Now, in today's day and age, obedience is not a word that we tend to think of in a positive way. We think of obedience as restrictive, limiting, and perhaps confining. Before some of us became Christians, we may have thought that to follow Jesus would deprive us of freedom and sentence us to a boring, miserable existence and keep us from living joyfully. But many found that misery came from trying to live apart a life from Jesus. When we finally decided to follow Jesus, we discovered new life, an abundant, rich, full, joyful life, overflowing with meaningful activities and fulfilling relationships under God's blessings. In fact, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's only with Christ as our shepherd that life is worth living, and we begin to live in a real sense of the word. It is in trusting and obeying that we receive abundant life. Psalm 23 talks about being comforted by the rod and staff. And we might think of the rod and staff as the guidance of Scripture and the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us we are to obey his commandments, we're to follow where he leads, and that we take the right paths, paths that lead to an abundant life. The Lord is our shepherd who gives us what we need for abundant life, causes us to rest and be restored, leads us to the right way of living, protects us from evil, and never stops pursuing us with goodness and kindness. I want to be clear that I'm not saying, nor does the Bible say, that if we trust and obey, good things will happen to us. We all have times of darkness in our life. We have times, even like the present time, of walking in the valley of the shadow of death. There will be enemies and evil present in our life. There will always be evil in the world until Jesus comes again. But the psalm tells us we need not to fear because God is with us to guide us and to comfort us even in our darkest valleys. I used to like to say that faith is not for mountaintop experiences, it's for the valley work of being a Christian. The last, and I'm almost finished, the last and maybe most important point I want to make this morning is that Jesus is the shepherd who became the sheep, or more specifically, became the lamb. John the Baptist said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The shepherd of the sheep became sacrificial lamb. Jesus is a shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Jesus came to offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins. He came to give us abundant life and eternal life. So with our good shepherd leading the way, we can live in safety and security here and now, even when we are walking through the shadow of the valley of death, knowing that he will provide us with everything we need in this life. And when this life is over, the same good shepherd is the door of our heavenly home in the presence of the Father in heaven, where he will live forevermore. So thanks be to God for sending his Son to be our shepherd, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.